Okay.
Hopefully that'll work for us. All right, let's get into the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. Everybody be there. It reads, "So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept your commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the furthest quarter of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer." Amen. We have been blessed by the reading and hearing. Amen. It will even be more blessed. Amen. By our obedience to the word of God.
Amen.
And we continue our series this morning entitled Prayer Alien as we try to highlight various characters of Scripture who had rich, vibrant, and effective prayer lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. I want to tell you just one thing before we get too deep into our word today. One thing about crack Indian ads. They have a way of accomplishing things that are humanly impossible.
Come on now. Come on.
Crack Indian ads have a way of accomplishing things that are humanly impossible.
All right.
That's why we want to examine them. We want to examine them. Listen, the sermon title today is Nehemiah, Praying the Word of God Over the Work of God.
Yeah.
I want to explore and examine the impetus and the impact of praying the word of God over the work of God. And I think if we would look to this, it's basically a journal of Nehemiah, we'll be able to see some of those things. But I want to tell you, the book is not all about Nehemiah.
Right.
Nehemiah is just the instrument
used. Come on now.
The glory of God is the end thing.
Right, right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? When we look at Nehemiah, like all the characters of Scripture, sometimes we want to make them heroic and the star of the story. But in the Scriptures, God is always the star of the story.
Right, right.
So even in Nehemiah, we'll see his leadership, and we'll see God using him as an instrument, but the star of Nehemiah's story and all biblical character story is the glory of God.
Yeah.
Because every story is about God's glory. Firstly, I kind of want to look at the fact that Nehemiah properly understood the word of God. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
He properly understood the word of God. Y'all got that? Just hold on to that for me. Hold on to that to me. I want to read this right before we get to that. Almost half there, but it's such a key scripture. Write it down if you have a pen. You may not have time to turn to it right now, but write it down. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, this is what it says. I'm reading it. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that we have in God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. He says, we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And when he hears us, he will answer and say yes to the petitions. Why? Because they are according to his will.
Yeah.
If it's according to his will, he'll do it.
Yeah.
Why are you telling us that, Pastor? Because the will of God is revealed in the word of God. If you want to know the will of God, you got to look to the word of God. He says, if you do it according to my will, if you ask it according to my will, I'll do it. The will of God is in the word of God. So when you pray the word of God, you pray in the will of God. Let me repeat that. Let me repeat that. On this Bible, the will of God is revealed in the word of God. So, when you pray the word of God, you're actually praying the will of God. And he says, if you pray according to my will, I'll hear you. And the petitions that you're asking for, I'll do it.
Amen.
So now you can probably see what I'm trying to say and why it's important to pray the word of God over the work of God. Because when you pray the word of God over the work of God, you're actually praying the will of God be done over the work of God.
Amen. Amen.
That was a powerful point.
Amen.
I hope you understood it. Clearly, amen. It can be powerful.
Yes.
If you understand it clearly. Okay? Now, Nehemiah had a proper understanding of the Word of God. Let's go back to Nehemiah. Let me see if I can find Nehemiah. All right, Nehemiah chapter 1. Now this, go down to about verse, well, let me just start at the top because I need to tell you some things anyway. Verse 5, and I said, I pray, he's praying now, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. I like that. Oh, great and awesome God. He's talking about how great and awesome God is. Now, that's what we call adoration.
Right.
Adoration. It's like sometimes we say we adore someone. Mm-hmm. Adoration comes from that idea of adoring someone. You're telling someone, All that you are attracted to them by. Why you think they're so wonderful. Why you think they're so special. Why you think they're so great. What all that you think of them, you say in adoration. Prayer always should have adoration in it. That's the first part. I'm going to go through this acronym, ACTS. Like the book of Acts.
All right.
But it also is an acronym that shares with us the different aspects that should be in our prayer.
Right.
A is for adoration. You should tell God what to think about. You should tell him how much you love him. Yeah. Tell him how beautiful he is to you.
Uh-huh.
Tell him how wonderful and all the things that you enjoy and adore and are attracted to him because of. That's your adoration. All right. Let's keep going. 6, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open and your that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sin of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. Confession.
Right.
It began with adoration. Now we're on confession. The word confess means to agree with. And basically, when you confess, you're agreeing with God. And in this particular prayer, Nehemiah is agreeing with God, amen, that what he did was wrong.
Right.
God, when we broke your commandments are right and true and just. And we've broken them and we sin. My fathers have sinned
as well as
and I have sinned.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we always like to point out others. We like to point out the sins of others. But we forget about our own. Amen. We forget about our own issues and our own struggles as we point out the sins of others. And then he said, wait a minute. Not only have we sinned, verse 7, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments. We have not kept the statutes, nor the ordinances, which you command. We have done none of the things you told us to do.
Right.
Yep. We just, you know, sometimes, I'm glad he said, because sometimes we try to minimize
our sins. Yep. Yeah. Amen.
It's a white lie, you know. We try to minimize our sin before God. But I don't see Nehemiah sees his sin like God sees his sin.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So he confesses his sin. But now, look. Verse 8. Remember, I pray, the word that you, he's talking about God now, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, Nehemiah said, that's me, unfaithful. That's what I was just talking about. I'm seeing, I've been unfaithful. I will scatter you among the nations. That had happened before Nehemiah's time. God had allowed nations like Assyria and Babylon to come and take his people into captivity and to take them off into other countries.
Right.
That's why we call them exiles. Now Nehemiah, amen, lived in a time when those exiles were able to come back to their homeland, their promised land that God had given them. But because of their sin, they had been in exile. Right. And what Nehemiah prayed, I'm going to show you that this is God's word, that he's praying. In just a second, I will scatter you among the nations. 9, but if you return to me, keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the furthest part of the heaven. Some of y'all, when they captured you and took you captive, they took you a long ways away.
Yeah.
But I'm even going to bring those back.
Yeah.
Yet I would gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen. That's the promised land. That's the place they have chosen. And Jerusalem is the capital. As a dwelling for my name. Now, hold your thumb there, put your notes there, because we're going to turn to another path.
Right.
And I want you to be able to get back. I told you why you need your Bible today. It's all in God's providence. All right, put your notes there and turn over to Deuteronomy. The fifth book, that's the fifth book from the front of the Bible. Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Y'all learning anything?
Amen.
Let's see. All right. Beginning at verse 1.
All right.
Everybody there. Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 1. Says, now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. And God is he's talking about. Even when they're in these other nations. Verse 2. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all I command you today. And you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul. That the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. They were in captivity. They had been taken exile. Now he's talking about when they bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the furthest part, don't that sound amazing? Under the heaven. From there the Lord your God will gather you and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your father possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your father. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of the sinners to love your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Also, listen to this. That's going to be important in a minute. Verse 7. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemy and on those who hate you, who persecute you. I'm going to hold there. Y'all will be rested.
Yeah. I'm thankful for bringing back.
So, Nehemiah, in his prayer, was praying Deuteronomy 30.
Right.
He was praying what God had spoken in Deuteronomy 30. When you compare it, people in this, and this was amazing because you got to realize Nehemiah was still in one of the foreign nations. A lot of them came back to Jerusalem, but Nehemiah was still serving the king in another nation. Y'all with me? Yet he knew the word of God.
Right.
He was in a foreign country, and they might not. We're going to see later in chapter 8, they read the word of God. It's not like it is today where everybody has a Bible. It was a few scrolls here and there. What happened if you were fortunate enough to hear the reading from the scroll, you just had to memorize it.
Right.
So Nehemiah had memorized word of God, the word of God so proficiently that he was able to pray. And he understood the situation that he was in was what God was talking about in Deuteronomy 30.
Yeah.
He said, God, this is what you were talking about in Deuteronomy 30. So I'm going to pray because you remember you said if we repent, turn around, and come back, you were going to bless us. So this is what I'm asking for you to do now. I'm praying the word of God over the word of God. Wait a minute, Dad, how do you know it was the work of God?
My Lord.
Let me see. How do I know it was the work of God? Let me see. We're going to look at verse chapter 2. We're going to go back to chapter 1. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 12. Lord, I hope it's right. Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 12. This says, it's Nehemiah's writings in the journal. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do.
Yeah.
I didn't tell nobody what I wanted to do. That's not what it says. I didn't tell anybody what my God had put in my heart to do. The reason why I said it was God's work, because God put it in Nehemiah's heart to do. When God put it in your heart to do, and you do his work, what I'm saying to you this morning is, you have to pray the word of God over that work of God.
Right.
You can be a teacher, and God put it in your heart to make a difference in those young people's lives. Therefore, you can pray the word of God
over
the work you're doing in the classroom.
Amen.
Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wherever God has called you to and gifted you,
amen,
you're doing the work of God. So what I'm saying, in order to do the work of God effectively, you got to pray the word of God over the work of God. You may be doing the work of God with a business where you're hiring people and you're making profit that you can invest in the kingdom. If God has put that in your heart, then what you have to do is pray the word of God over the work of God, because that becomes the work of God.
Right. Amen.
The work of God is not only what goes on in the church.
Right.
The work of God is what goes on wherever God establishes your pulpit.
Amen.
He may establish your pulpit on your job, or in your neighborhood, or among your friends or family. Wherever God establishes your pulpit, that's where you need to be praying the word of God over the work of God.
That's good. Amen. Amen.
Nehemiah realized that those verses applied to him. But not only that, and then he prayed it. That's now he missed one step. That don't mean he didn't do it, y'all. Because when you look back, it talks about when he started praying. But it's basically about 4 months. Nehemiah prayed for 4 months, ending in the month of Nisan, which I think was like April, in the March, April area. And he began like in the December area. And this, so he prayed for 4 months. And then he said, this is what I prayed. You know, the whole, he that gave you a supper, that's not every word he prayed. He was praying for 4 months for this thing.
Yeah.
He was praying the word of God over the work. I think he began in a month called Tetzaviv. That's December month. And then he ended up in the month of Nisan. Those are 4 months away. He'd been praying for 4 months. He said, this is what I've been praying. So now, we know it's adoration and confession. Uh-huh. We just saw what's called supplication, that we've asked for something. The letter that was left out there was the T. The T is thank you. Just knowing Nehemiah, somewhere in there was a thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when you pray, you ought to have adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You take all the first letters of those four words, and you end up with an acronym, ACTS, like the book of the Bible, ACTS. That's the way you remember. Be sure when you pray, you have all of those things, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication.
Sir.
All right. What's the A for?
Adoration.
C?
Confession.
T?
Thanksgiving.
S?
Supplication.
Supplication means asking for stuff. Sometimes we slip straight to the S. I'm just past, I gotta get. And sometimes God understands. Because sometimes you're such a bad time. I just want to get to the S. Lord, I'm hurt so bad. I just got to ask you to bless you right now. But don't do that. Don't skip to this every time, y'all.
Right. Amen. Amen.
All right. Let's get back. So that unfolding. You're talking about the unfolding plan of them coming back, but yeah, also there's a plan for a unique person that started in Genesis 3:15, where he talked about the seed of a woman crushing the serpent's head. That's a foreshadowing of Christ. And then he tells Abraham in Genesis 12, when he's giving him the promise that in your seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. That's talking about that unique person, Christ himself.
Right, the one that's
going to sit on the throne of David. He's talking about David forever. Amen. There's going to be somebody on your throne forever. That's son of David. It's Christ. Amen. And the one that told Isaiah in Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. He was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our sin was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. All those things point to that unique person that the whole Bible points to. And that's Jesus. I think Nehemiah realized that God wanted him to build the wall. Because without a wall, the nation surrounding Jerusalem would intermingle with his people. Mm-hmm. And they would begin to worship other gods. And they would assimilate into the other nations. And because they didn't have any protection, he realized if the nation of Israel would gradually assimilated to other nations, there would not be a nation of Israel, and that had to be a nation of Israel for the Savior to come through.
All right.
So you see how important it was to build a wall? Because in building the wall, you gave security to the nation of Israel so Israel could survive until the Savior came through the people of Israel. So Nehemiah had a great understanding of the Word of God. And I told you, if you pray the Word of God over the work of God, if you ask anything according to my will,
yeah,
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Chapter 2. Go to chapter 2. We're going to see him doing it. He's praying in chapter 1, and we see it happening in chapter 2. But he prayed again in chapter 2.
Uh-huh.
And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to him, because that was his job. Amen. He had to taste. He had to taste that before he gave it to the king. Just in case somebody tried to poison the king. So Nehemiah was trusted by the king. That might be why the king got a little worried when he saw one not looking right. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, you. You have that job, Nehemiah. Today you look kind of sad. So, you know, king must say, wait a minute. You need to explain this sadness to me. But I need to make sure that you ain't drunk something or tasted something
right. That's
messing you up. Because if you're something to mess you up, I don't want it. So, Nehemiah, what's wrong? So, verse 2, therefore the king said to me, why is your faith sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but the sorrow of heart. Then I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my faith not be sad when the city, the place where my father's tomb, lies in waste and his gates are burned with fire? And the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to God of heaven. There you go again. Mm-hmm. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you will send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. So the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside me. So I think queen has that little influence too. Because why would we rich in
that?
I think the queen said, no. I think we ought to be rich in that. So I think the queen had a little influence. I think that's why she's mentioned that. How long are you going to be gone, Nehemiah? And when you come back? So it pleased the king. The king was happy to send it. And he gave him a time, he's coming back. Okay? Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, mm-hmm. that they permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. I call this promotion.
All right.
I'm not talking about a promotion like when you're promoted from the first grade to the second grade, or when you were promoted from supervisor to man. I'm talking about a promotion like Nike is promoting the Colin Kaepernick cause. And in other words, I like to say like this, because of Kaepernick's kneeling, Nike promoted him.
Yeah.
That's a new commercial everybody's seeing. Most of y'all have seen the commercial. He talks about believing. You got to believe in something. So when you believe in something, sometimes that means losing everything. Amen. Y'all have seen it. You have a lot of the stars in the background doing what they do. Nike had decided to promote what causes Colin Kaepernick to stand in. But listen, really, Nike is all about Nike. And Nike knows the audience that buys Nikes
is of the same account.
Or the urban community, 135, that buy most of the sneakers.
Right.
So we will support helping his causes. I don't think it's all because his causes are just whatever side you come down. But I'm saying Nike is doing it mostly for Nike.
Right.
They're not promoting it, just promoting. They're promoting his causes, because by promoting his causes, they're also promoting their profit. You're with me. So, just like by kneeling led to Nike promoting Kaepernick causes, kneeling and praying to God.
Come on now. That's good. Okay.
Called King Artaxerxes, to promote God's cause.
Gotcha.
I got you, Nehemiah.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go on back home. Take care of that. You know, we got this thing. You're coming back. We finished. You might say, look, so I'm going to promote you. I'm behind you. I'm going to support what you do. But not only did he promote, but look in verse, chapter 2, verse 8. In a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber and beam for the gates and citadel, which pertain to the temple, for the city wall and for the houses that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of God upon me. Not only did he get promotion, but he also got provision.
Right.
I'm talking about the pros and cons, man. I'm on the pros. He got a promotion from the king, and he also got provision from the king. But then when you look down, I think about verse 9 and 10, he also got protection.
Yeah.
Because the king said, I know you got the letter to tell everybody to let you go through. But just in case somebody don't want to do what they're supposed to do, I'm going to send some guards and some troops from my own bodyguard with you to take care of you.
Yeah.
So because he prayed the word of God over the work of God, he got somebody to promote him.
Mm-hmm.
He got provision.
Mm-hmm.
And he got
protection.
But that's not all he got. Because there were also some cones.
Right.
And I want to tell you, whenever you're doing a work of God, don't think it's going to be all pros.
Come on now.
You're going to have some things come against you, too.
Amen.
He had conflict, both internal and external.
Yeah.
Internal conflict was that when everybody left their lane, you know, they were farmers and ranchers. They left their places. They came to build a wall. So they were unable to tend their lane or tend their crops. So they had less. They couldn't pay their bills. So the people that they owed to, the other Jews that they owed money to, amen, charged them a lot of interest. To the point that they couldn't pay the bill. And some of them, because they couldn't pay the bill, back in those days, you couldn't pay the bill, sometimes you have to give your child as a servant in payment of your bill. So there came a problem internally. There was a problem between, I said it when I actually preached through the series of Nehemiah, there was a problem between the have and the have not.
Yeah.
Because the have were charged interest in enslaving the children of those that had not. And Nehemiah said, this ain't going to work. We're all working together, trying to rebuild the wall. How are you going to do your own brothers like this? And after Nehemiah shared it and preached that to them, they said, okay, we're not going to do it. We're going to send his son of the daughter back home. And then the leader, he himself, So, you know, they're supposed to be, some of the money that the tax is taking up, well, it's supposed to be given to me, you know, to pay for my food and all that. I'm not even going to take that. Because I want to set an example as a leader. I'm not even going to accept that money. But not only am I not going to accept that money, but at my own expense, me and my mother had a little money, at my own expense, I'm going to start feeding folk.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're supposed to do if you're a have. Mm-hmm. A have is not supposed to exploit the have not. A have job is to impact a have not to the point that he becomes a have.
Right.
You ought to be generous enough to the have not until the have not becomes a have. Mm-hmm. And when the have not becomes a have, he goes out and gets another have not. And he's that generous to that have not until the have not becomes a have.
Yeah.
Can we get everybody on from away from the have not side to the have side? So he resolved the internal conflict. But they had some external conflict also.
Well, yeah.
You'll see these fellas show up time and time again.
Yeah.
Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. They just show up. I call them the three students. Amen. Because that's what they were to God. Yeah, I know most of y'all too young to have watched the Three Stooges. But if you watch them, they were always bumbling up stuff.
Uh-huh.
So now these three guys were trying to take down, amen, Nehemiah and what Nehemiah was doing.
Right.
They tried all kinds of things. When he first saw him building the wall, they went out there and ridiculed him. So, that wall, y'all ought to gear that up. If a little old fox came on that wall, he's going to fall down. They ridicule the work of God. Sometimes when you're doing the work of God, it's going to get ridiculed. It's going to get ridiculed. Not only do they ridicule the work of God, but they also conspired to attack all three of these. Tobiah, amen, and Sanballat, and Geshem. They all were like from the three cities surrounding Jerusalem. And that's why they didn't really want to build their wall, because I think they've been stealing stuff, taking stuff, having their way. Now they're building their wall, and we ain't going to do nothing with them. So they didn't really want that wall built, because it was going to mess them up. And so they said, we're going to all get together, and we're going to get our people from our city, and we're going to attack them while they're working. But they got Israel got wind of it. And said, all right, they want to attack us while we're working. What I want you to do, we're going to work with one hand.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a weapon in the other hand. So we got one hand working, the bricks in, then if it come up, then we got something for them on the other hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ready either way they want to come. We ready. Amen. And it says that when the enemy got wind of it, they got frustrated. Because they know they was ready. And he said, now, you know we kind of fall apart, so what are we going to do? We're going to have a trumpet. So if they take any part, if we hear the trumpet blast, all of us are going to run to that person.
Mm-hmm.
They had a plan.
Yeah.
See, just because you're praying, you all have a plan. You pray and plan, and then you plan and pray. You pray and plan and pray. But don't just pray. You need a job and you just pray. You ain't got a plan. You ain't got a resume. You ain't looking for no job on the computer. You ain't went to the unemployment office. You ain't got you no training. You ain't asked nobody to know what time was open at.
Right.
You ain't looking at a newspaper. You ain't went down the street and seen a warning sign. You don't have no plan. You get praying. You got to pray, but you got to have a plan too.
Right.
Because God blesses your plan through prayer. But if you ain't got no plan, what does he have to bless?
Come on now. That's real.
Then they plotted his assassination. You know those three students plotted his assassination. They said, hey, Nehemiah, let's go over to Ono. Let's have some coffee. Let's go up to Ono, was like, you know, Starbucks. Let's go to Ono, you know. We're going to sit down, chat. Maybe we can do a treat thing. We can end all this problem we've been doing. But it was all a plot to assassinate Nehemiah.
Uh-huh.
And Nehemiah said, I can't come down.
Right.
Because I'm doing a great work.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
See them? They keep coming back again and again. And then they slandered him. They sent an open letter. In other words, the letter was open.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, those of you see get letters in the mailbox. What if you got a letter in it? It was already open. You must never see it. I mean, anybody can read your mail.
Yeah, right.
They down the post, oh man, read this. Wow. Wow. So they sent an open letter. The three just sent an open letter. And they had an open letter that the only reason Nehemiah was doing this is because he wanted to rebel against the king. And so, you know, everybody know about that Nehemiah. Everybody know about the one to rebel against the king. But they're trying everything they could to get him to rebel. And lastly, they sent a false prophet.
Yeah.
See, he won't listen to nobody. He won't listen to nobody but God. So we sent a false prophet to tell him. If we send a false prophet, we'll pay the false prophet. We'll send him down there and tell him, hey, man, you know, invite him up to the church. Tell him, tell him he'll be a slave to the church because they wanted him out to retreat to the church so he could look like a coward. And it would be a detriment to the people that were following him. And Nehemiah found out that they were false prophets. You see that attack? That's why you have to pray the word of God.
Right.
Over the work of God. Because you will have attack after attack after attack after attack after attack. They're not going to give up.
Right. And if they find a small gap, my Lord.
And you can't make it by yourself without him.
Right.
You need him protecting you
right.
against all these attacks of the enemy.
Right.
This is what I want you guys to get to. Go to verse chapter 4. Verse 4. I'm gonna write some things down. Chapter 4, verse 4. Just read the first 8 chapters and y'all get all this stuff. Chapter 4, verse 4. This is God. I mean, this is Nehemiah praying to God. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own head and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. What kind of prayer is that? Nehemiah praying for bad to happen to the people. Y'all read that? But you remember. When we were reading back then in Deuteronomy 30, God said to those that come against my people, I'm going to curse.
Uh-huh.
So even when he prayed bad, he was still praying the word of God, because God had already said, hey, if you come against the people, something bad is going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. And Nehemiah was trying to show him, this is what I'm bad, I don't want to happen.
Yeah.
I know y'all were going to preach. That's why I had to show y'all that. Now, don't y'all be praying bad on people. I don't know, come y'all back. Oh, yeah. That's what told me. I won't go. I already got mine staked out. Don't pray bad on
folks.
That was for Nehemiah. Hey, man. All right, now let's look. Look at 6:14. Go over 6:14. It's near about the same thing. This is after the false prophet.
Yeah.
Prophet. Verse 14, 6. My God, remember Tobias and Sanballat according to these their works. And the prophetess Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me a friend.
Yeah.
Don't forget them, God. Because I know what you said back in Deuteronomy 30. You were going to curse them if they came against your people. I know that y'all thinking you don't do it. I know you're saying, I don't know about all that other stuff, but I can use that one, Pastor. Don't do it. Forgive. Leave that in God's hand. All right. I'm about to close this thing. I got a few more things, but let me show you one. Also, they had construction fatigue. They had got tired because this was a great task. So they had got tired of sometimes when you're doing something great for God, along the way you get a little weary. And you get a little tired and you need encouragement. God, you have to pray to God that God can come in and encourage you. Or send encourage you through right, other people.
Right.
Now, 14 and 6, chapter 4, verse 10, chapter 6, verse 9, you see where the construction fatigue came in. And you see where he asked for the hand of God, strength of God to strengthen his hand. All right. Now, I'm going to finish this. I don't want to miss anything that I was... There was something. All right. Go back to chapter 3. Yeah, man. I told you I'm going to need your Bible today. It's more like a seminar. Chapter 3, verse 8. Something I want you to see from. Make sure I got that right. Chapter, where is it? Chapter 3. Man, I got to find it. All right, give me a second here. I don't think it's in England. Oh, 7. Go to 7. I got to show y'all this. In the next, now this is talking about all the people building the wall. Everybody got a spot. Everybody got a part to play. It's talking about all the different groups that are building the wall. Now look at verse 7. And next to them, Melatiah, the Gibeonite, Jadon and Meronothite, the man of Gibeon in Mizpah. Y'all see that? The man of Gibeon. Y'all remember Gibeon from a week or two ago? What did I preach about Gibeon? You remember Gibeon, the one that came and got the tree?
Yeah.
They got the tree of Israel. They had the old clothes.
Oh, yeah, the same.
And the old shoes.
Yeah.
And he made a treaty with them.
Yeah.
Now, they went to exile and came back. And Gibeon is still with Israel.
Yeah.
Give him a stand of faith to what they say. Amen. The man is giving them, hey, we still together. Us in Israel, Israel building a wall, we building a wall. We want our spot on the wall.
Yeah.
Y'all about to give you one? Uh-uh. Give him a stand with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show y'all, give him a still there. After all this. They meant it to be evil, but God won't even fix it.
Right.
Won't even work it out for good. Amen. It's all God, y'all. It's all God. Listen, in verse 2 and 8, we hear Nehemiah talking about the hand of God was upon me. In chapter 2, verse 18, the hand of God had been favorable to me. In chapter 2, verse 20, the God of heaven will give us success. That's what he said when they got a little tired. Chapter 4, verse 16, God frustrated their plan. That's the plan that they had to attack.
Yes.
Amen. God frustrated. Chapter 4, verse 20. Our God will fight for us. You keep your brick in one hand and your weapon in the other hand. And when we blow that horn, we come together. Don't worry about it. Our God will fight for us. 6:9. God strengthened our hand because the work was so much to do. And 6:15. Amen. Everybody turn 16 because this is kind of like the ending verse. Chapter. They done went through all they done went through. But remember, Nehemiah prayed the word of God.
Over
the work of God.
Yeah. And in 52 days. Come on, man.
So, verse 15, chapter 6. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days.
Yeah.
Now, he prayed for 4 months. He prayed 120 days. And it didn't take but 52. He prayed more than.
Come on now.
He prayed more than the people. What? Amen. Amen. And 16, it happened when all the enemies, all those folks that kept trying to stop him. Amen. When all the enemies heard of it,
yeah,
and all the nations around us saw these things,
yeah,
they were very disheartened.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't stop.
Got somewhere to stand.
They can't, yeah, we can do. And their own eyes, for they received that the work was done by our God.
Yeah.
The enemy saw it. They said, oh, we just went let them alone. We did everything we could to stop it. And look at that. They did this whole thing in 52 days.
Right.
That was impossible.
Come on,
but I'm trying to tell you, amen, millionaires do things that most people look at and think are humanly impossible. But that because it's humanly impossible, that would mean it's not possible. It's not possible when God gets involved in it. Because God loves the impossible.
Yeah.
Because he said, when something is impossible and I make it possible, all glory comes,
yeah,
to me.
He gets the glory.
So there's an unveiling of God's wonder.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow, what a God.
Yeah.
And I think not only him, but when Israel saw it, wait a minute, what a God we got. Every once in a while, you need to look back on how good God's been to you.
Right,
and you need to
right,
say, oh, what a mighty
right,
God we serve.
Right.
Oh, yeah, thank you. God has just been good to me.
Yeah.
Every time I look back and connect the dots, I got to think about how good God's been to me.
Yeah.
He's been so good to me that my enemies saw how good. They said, we can't do nothing to him.
Come on now.
We have tried everything, but he's gone.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Keep bringing him back up.
Yeah.
His God, keep buttressing him. His God, undergirds him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I love the book of Nehemiah, God. Most of the things Nehemiah went through, I done went through. So I, amen. Nehemiah showed him my story.
Yeah.
But hey, and that's why I know my God is good.
Yeah.
And that's why, amen, I can trust in him. Amen. After he had prayed the word of God over the work of God. And you are the work of God, too. Your life is the work of God. Every one way, you got to pray the word of God over your life. Almost every day. You have a problem with patience. When you go over there to Galatians 5:22, where it says the fruit of the Spirit is patience.
Right.
And he said, God, I know the fruit of the Spirit is patience. I've been having a problem. Just go ahead and talk to him about it. Mm-hmm. Same person, I ain't been here to be patient with you. I've been losing it. But you said the fruit of the Spirit, patience, God. I'm praying your word.
Right.
You said, fruit, I have your Holy Spirit within me. I want patience produced in my life. Today, when I face this person, I need you to give me patience.
Yeah.
You got a habit. You keep going back to, Lord, fruit of the Spirit, self-control.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray today, because your fruit of the Spirit, self-control. I need self-control.
Yeah.
I need self-control. Because self-control is really, I know self-control is not me controlling myself. It's the Holy Spirit helping me control myself.
Yeah.
But I can't do it myself. Every time I do it myself, and then some triggers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hit that trigger and I go back to doing the same thing I used to do.
Yeah.
Y'all see what I'm saying? Pray the word of God over yourself. You need to forgive. Hey man, what is it? You go to that scripture. Say, Lord, I know you taught us to forgive 70 times. Seven. I can't forgive one time. I need your help. So you go find the thing. Be sure now when you pray in the Word of God, You're praying the word of God that's for your address.
Yeah, for me. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't pray the word of God for somebody else. Amen. That word of God, that letter didn't even come to you. That passage was for somebody else. And you're trying to pray, Lord, this is what I want you to do. He said, no, that's not your mail.
Right.
Amen. That's not your mail. That didn't come to you. Hey, somebody come to my mailbox. And maybe it's in one minute the credit card comes, hey, well, you got a $50 credit or something. And then you get it. You can't go claim that. That ain't your credit. That's my credit. I probably had to spend $500 to get that $50. You see what I'm saying? Make sure it's for you.
Yeah.
See, Nehemiah knew for him because he realized he was part of that group that had been scattered and had changed.
Yeah.
He said, oh, that's our scripture. I can pray that for me. Make sure what you're praying over the work is something that's for you. Because there's some that's for like the Old Testament. It's like there's some for the church. And there's some for all the believers. All the people of God. When I pray that on Revelation 28, but that's true. But you can't pray unless you. That's your address. What address you got? See, some people have to turn that Psalm 828, you ain't get the right address. Because they said that's all that love God.
All right.
So that address is history. If you love God and call according to his purpose, then he'll work all things together too. He didn't send it to any address. He sent it to people that love God and are called according to his purpose. Make sure it's at the right address. Lastly, they rebuilt the wall. In rebuilding the wall, I think it became the impetus for the people of God that in chapter 8, a revival started.
Yeah.
So now I want to see, I think that was God's purpose all the time. But God is really not in the brick and mortar. God is in the people.
Right.
God was trying to rebuild people's faith, rebuild people's confidence in him, and show them, hey, I'm still on your side. When the wall was torn down, people were laughing and said, your God has forsook you. He's gone. But now the walls are back up. People know God. They're trying to say, I'm back. Israel back. So you got to reckon with us now.
Yeah.
We gave the people confidence. That's what I want you to do. Don't let this thing just go. As you, every day, hopefully you do it every day at least once a week, often as you can. As you read the Word of God, you should have some time to support the Word of God. Whether you read a verse, half a verse, chapter, as you read, sometimes you feel like something God just highlights. You know that, like the yellow highlight?
That's right.
Sometimes you may not have a yellow highlight, but God will highlight it to you.
Right.
That means you need to pray that over the work of God, over your life, over your family, over your children, over your neighborhood, over your church. He said, if you ask anything according to my will, I do. And the word of God reveals the work of God. The musician's going to come now. Amen. And we're going to extend the privilege.